Blog Talk Radio.
Due to the subject matter of tonight's show, parental discretion is advised. In the dead of night, when thy winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls about your being. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone, and you sit huddled by the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight? Welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone. Over the last year or so, the Night Zone has investigated many phenomenons. The Georgia Stones, Planet X, Nostradamus, Bible prophecy, paranormal and alien encounters, lost time incidents, lights in the sky, cosmic awareness, universal energy, and code. We have looked at earthly magic, have delved into the Illuminati, we have chatted with a real witch, and journeyed with wonderful worldly writers. But we have not yet chatted with a real-life vampire. Next, in the Shadows of the Night Zone.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs, welcome to
the Night Zone.
This is a live event.
There is nothing wrong with your computer. There is nothing wrong with your audio or your video. We are controlling the transmission. For the next hour, and we will control all that you hear. Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind. The Shadows of the Night Zone.
Growing up as a kid, I think I saw every Dracula movie, every vampire movie. I read the story of Dracula, not Bram Stoker's embodiment. I read the history of Vlad the Impaler from 1462, who clearly was the template to Bram Stoker's fantasy figure known to all as Dracula. When the TC research team came to me and said, on June the 2nd we have a vampire schedule, read this, and they threw into my hands a printed copy of Chris Holly's work on vampirism. Chris, being the style of writer that she is, I was of course hooked. After reading Chris's story on her blog and the Alien Seeker News, I Google vampires for more information. I conjured up a gothly figure, backlit with candles and pentagrams and bats all over. I really questioned the research team's mental stability, which, if I may add, I do on a regular basis. But lo and behold, they really did have a real-life vampire for interview. Tonight, exclusively in the Night Zone,
Lady Lederk Calment, the matriarch from the House of Maniac,
will be with us. Coming up next in the Night Zone.
You are in the Night Zone on blogtalkradio.com. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, caveat emptor. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Night Zone. Before we get to tonight's guest, I do want to remind all parents out there who have small children in the room to switch to headphone status, because tonight's show is not for the faint of heart. I am honored tonight to have with me in the Night Zone Lady Lederk Calment, matriarch of the House of Maniac. Good evening and welcome to the Shadows of the Night Zone.
Thank you so much, Colin.
What would be an appropriate way to address you? Would it be Lady Lederk or Lady Calment?
Whichever way you'd like to. Most people call me Lady Calment.
Okay, then Lady Calment, it is so be it. As you probably heard, Lady Calment, in the intro, our team had a great deal of fun with tonight's audio bites. So I hope you go along with the fun. My research team tell me that you are, in fact, a live practicing vampire.
That's correct.
Would I know you? Would I know you were a vampire if I met you in person?
Not unless you were also a vampire.
So vampires would have a connection with each other, they would know?
Yes. That's actually how most people find out they're a vampire, because someone else that is a vampire can feel it.
Right.
We know our own kind.
Right. Here's a really silly question I'm going to ask you is, do all vampires have fangs?
No.
No?
Not all vampires have fangs.
Well, that's one of my questions the research team writes down. Make sure you ask it. Make sure you ask if she has fangs. Do you have fangs?
I do have fangs. I only wear them when I want to, though. I only show them when I want to.
Okay. Okay. So are they permanent fangs or are they like denture fangs?
It's a little of both. There are many different kinds. Some are more denture-like and some are more permanent.
Okay. All right. I can deal with that. So how long have you known that you were a vampire?
Well, let's see. I knew what I was about 2 years ago, but I've known that I fed ever since I was little. So.
Okay. So you've always had the feeling that you were different, if you will. I hate to use that word different,
yeah.
But different than normal kids?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And you're... As you heard in the intro, let me get back to this. As you heard in the intro, I think I'd seen just about every vampire movie that was ever created, and every one of them showed that they were blood feeders. Well, except for Debbie Does Transylvania, but that's a totally different show.
Yeah.
Is this a Hollywood concept of a vampire to be a blood feeder?
Yes, it is. It's a real concept. There are blood feeding vampires. But there are also vampires who are psychic vampires, feed off energy.
Right. And so there are a number of different areas of vampires. There's the blood feeders, and there's the psychic vampires.
That's correct. Those are the two... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, please.
Those are the two main... categories, I suppose, of vampires would be a sanguinarian vampire, which, of course, feeds on blood, and a psychic vampire, which feeds on energy. And then, of course, under those two categories, it branches out into many, many, many subtypes.
Right. So some that feed on positive, some that feed on negative energies. And some, I understand, are sexual vampires or succubus and tantric vampires.
Yes. That's true.
And all of these categories, all of these vampires, they have honed their skills, or are their skills inherent to their genetic code? How's that?
It's a little of both, I want to say. It's like anything else, once you feed in a certain manner for so long, of course you find special techniques, and some of it is, you know, innate in our genes, I suppose, is the way we look at it, but you learn to control your feeding more, is the controlling of it is the learned skill.
Right. I can relate to that. So you say that from a very early age you knew that that something was different about you as opposed to the normal kids. How did that come about? What was the storyline or the scenario of that?
It was actually kind of on the one of my friends when I was younger. I was actually about 5 years old the first time I remember it.
Right.
And we were sort of hiding from everybody else in the neighborhood. And I remember getting, like, we were hiding under something in a building in our neighborhood. And the close proximity, I sort of felt, I'm going to use the term and then I'm going to elaborate. I felt the energy flow from him to me. And it's sort of like when you feed off somebody, they notice a difference. They can notice it. They sort of get sort of lethargic.
Okay.
And that was the first time, I mean, I really noticed what's going on. It was noticeable enough that I was like, what just happened? It almost felt like the tingle of electricity between us.
Okay. Okay. So a psychic vampire drains people or draws energy from people and feeds on emotions. Am I correct?
That's correct, yes. In the broad sense, yes.
Right. The Night Zone did a show last year on internet psychic vampires, especially focused on political and social rooms in Chatland. It's amazing how many people out there do exactly as you are saying. They feed on the negativity or the chaos that they create in these chat rooms. Is there any way to protect yourself against a psychic vampire?
Well, of course, we have shields, just as anyone else dealing in energy would have a shield. It's basically a simple psychic shield would prevent that from being able to be possible.
Right.
But
would the lay person be able to create a psychic shield?
Yes. It pretty much, I mean, it's just being aware of the psychic field around you. It's just basically visualizing it helps pretty much anybody be able to do it. Most of the time, if someone is feeding off of a fight, like your research has found, I want to say that it's going to be someone that probably does not realize that they are a vampire.
That's more than possible. A lot of these people have been stuck in this internet chat land for so long that they just don't realize the damage they are doing to others, I don't think.
Well, and generally, along the vampire community, we don't like negativity. We don't. It's sort of like if you eat the difference between eating a chicken sandwich and eating a chicken sandwich that's been out in the sun for 2 days. It makes you sick.
Right.
You know?
Right. So there are qualities of energy.
Yes.
And is there a different, I know this is from a layman, okay, but is there a different taste to soured energy as opposed to positive energy? Is there a different flavor or sensation?
Yes. A negative energy would make you feel depressed almost immediately, even sometimes as you're taking it in, make you feel sad, make you feel depressed, make you upset. Sometimes you could even cry. And a positive energy would make you feel euphoric, happy,
right,
energized, excited.
Right. So are you a blood feeder vampire?
I am a vampire that can feed in many different avenues. Let's put it at that. There are some within the vampire community, there's different concepts. Everybody has their own, you know, belief system of
right,
how you can be a vampire. But I personally feed both through psychic methods mostly, and then also through blood.
Okay. So you're married, correct?
That is correct. I am married.
And your husband is also a vampire?
Yes, he is.
And you'd mentioned earlier that vampires know when another vampire is closed, very much like the Quickening, or very much like Duncan MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod. He knows when there's somebody around. Is that the same kind of sense, that feeling of the Quickening?
Well, it's just we're sort of innately drawn to each other, and then when it's a different kind of feeling, but we know. Usually, in most cases, since there are many, many people that are vampires that don't realize they're vampires, usually someone who knows they're a vampire knows someone else's before the person does.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break here. Let you gather your wits. And to the people out there in the audience, you got a 2-minute break. Either bathroom or fill your glasses. Here we go. We'll be right back with Lady Ladur Calment, matriarch of the House of Maniac, a live member of the vampire community, when we return.
Lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
For our live audience out there, if you would like to chat with our guest, the phone lines are open.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Or if you are a registered listener, come to the Blog Talk Radio site at www.blogtalkradio.com and search for the Night Zone webpage. Click the blue chat button and join us in the virtual studio. From there, it is merely a click away to talk to our guest.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although the Night Zone takes all precautions to bring you quality information, the Night Zone and its subsidiaries or affiliates do not accept responsibility for information provided by our guests or hosts. The Night Zone is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, King Head Emtor,
welcome to the shadows
of the Night Zone. Due to the subject matter of tonight's show, parental discretion is advised. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And with me tonight is the real-life vampire, Lady Calment, matriarch of the House of Maniac. So, Lady Calment, as we look at vampirism, obviously the only thing we really can look at is the Hollywood style. And I find that there are so many misconceptions about vampirism, the needing to sleep in their own native soil in a coffin, being burned from holy water and crucifix, and of course the sun burning flesh if people are actually, vampires are actually exposed to it. So let me go through these quick questions, because even though they may seem very basic to you, to our people out there, all we have is Hollywood to go on. So do you have a normal sleep cycle?
I do have a normal sleep cycle, although it varies. Insomnia is a common factor amongst vampires. But yes, I do have a normal sleep cycle.
All right, and you have no issues with holy water or a crucifix?
I'm an ordained minister, Colin.
Okay, I guess the answer is no then. You're going to be fine with that, huh?
fine with that.
How about the sun? Is this myth valid, where a vampire would burn if the rays of the sun touch them?
It's not valid. We can go out in the sun anytime we'd like, but many of us do have minor aversions to the sun. I myself, when I'm in the sun for prolonged periods, I get migraine headaches. My husband, on the other hand, if he goes out in the sun for 5 minutes, he'll get, no matter what time of year it is, he will get a sunburn.
Wow. And so, and your husband, make sure that everybody realizes that your husband is also a vampire.
That is correct. And that is also very unusual for our community for two vampires to be married.
Right, because my understanding is a vampire would usually take a donor as a partner, where
yes.
both of you tend to be on an equal footing. Is that kind of where we're at?
Yeah, that's valid, yes. Most vampires would take a donor as a partner.
Right. Well, yeah, being married to a vampire and being a vampire, it definitely has a whole new meaning to love bites, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Luckily, the way it usually works out and the way it works for us is my husband, usually requires a different kind of feeding than I do. So whereas I'm mostly psychic, when I need psychic energy, he needs blood, and when I need blood, he needs psychic energy. So it works out fairly well for us.
So the trade-off is definitely worth it then?
Yes.
Now, the feeding of blood, and I don't want to harp on this issue because there's so much more about vampires other than the feeding of blood, but when you feed upon blood, obviously you don't do as Hollywood does, where the fangs come out and they bite into the jugular.
No, a real vampire would never, ever, ever bite someone, because we're probably more keen to infection than anyone, and we would never cause. Your mouth has the most bacteria of any other place. We would never put someone else in that kind of harm's way.
And that makes sense. So when you feed, regardless of whether it's on energy, blood, or whatever the vampire chooses as the feeding source, do you feel full, like I would feel full having a meal, or is there more emotion, more feeling than that?
It's more emotional, really. It's more satisfying. It's more like you. I can equivalent to sort of like the feeling you would get when after you rode a really fast roller coaster. That sort of euphoric tingling everywhere. That's what we feel mostly.
So the rush of
the
of
rush.
The,
yes, that's
yeah.
a good word.
Okay. Well, My producer just handed me a piece of paper here from our crack team, and it says, "Ask her about the laptop story." What does that mean anything to you about a laptop computer story?
A laptop story?
Yeah, a laptop computer story. Something about. Let's have a look here. See if they left me any more notes on this. A laptop computer. A vampire activated a dead computer?
Yes. I personally, it was quite the opposite, actually. One of the members of the vampire community, we were sitting there, and he just unplugged his computer from charging all night and went to use it, and because he is a energy feeding vampire, when he touched it and it was unplugged, the battery died.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
common. I mean, for a strong vampire, that's not really something uncommon. But there's different levels. I mean, you know how before you were saying something about a chat rooms and something like that?
Mm-hmm.
To get that many people going, you know, get them riled up, it would take a fairly strong vampire. It wouldn't just be your average, you know, run-of-the-mill vampire. They wouldn't have that much power. Now, maybe to get one friend riled up, they could possibly do that. But
right.
for a large
well,
group of people.
Yeah. If you've ever been in any of those, political chat rooms, all you have to do is throw a race bomb or a political party bomb. Throw a liberal bomb into a conservative room, and you just watch the piranhas feed. It
yeah.
doesn't take much to get these people wound up. I can tell you that for a card-carrying fact. So,
yeah.
My understanding of psychic vampires is that they have the ability to convert whatever energy is produced into their required needs. So even if they are a positive energy vampire, they could feed on negative energy and convert it. Is that my understanding? Do I have that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We can feed on any kind of energy. Only vampires that sort of have educated themselves can. It takes practice to learn how to change positive and negative energy back and forth. It's not something that's just innately in us. The taking is the part that's innately in us. It's the conversion from, you know, into what we need and the waiting to feed as we need it instead of constantly that is our education, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So do all vampires that have educated themselves in the feeding services and system, do they all convert the energy so efficiently without any real problems?
Yes. Basically, once you know how to turn it into what you need, it's not hard to do it. Once again, the amount of energy someone needs and the capability even to change it into the positive or negative or whatever energy they need also stems from their strength as a vampire.
Right. And I do have a caller up online, a 631 prefix. I believe that's New York City. 631, I'll open up your microphone, your first name, and your general geographical location, please. Good evening, 631.
Good evening, Colin. This is Chris Hall from New York.
Hello, Chris. Hello, Chris. You have a question for our guest tonight?
I certainly do, Colin, and it's something that's been very interesting to both you and I because we both witnessed this. Lady Kelmet, Colin
yes.
and I one time were going around and looking at all the different internet chat rooms, and we became aware of this one particular woman who was, I had to be, a world-class psychic vampire. She would go in and she would dominate these rooms, but my question to you is, the way she did this was with a fury. She would charge in, immediately dominate and almost cripple the people, and then charge out and do it to the next room and the next room and the next room. And what was fascinating to me as we started to watch this over a period of time was that if she was having a problem in a room, she would bring forces, which were other people. Actually, it was another woman very similar to her, and they'd go in and, like, double-team these people, and you could just watch it and just drain the energy out of the room. It was just like they came in with a vacuum. I've never seen anything like this. And suck that room dry of energy, control it, and when they had it or filled or finished with the energy in that room, they would move on. Now, the question I had is that they would do something else. They would find people in these rooms that now I understand what was going on, that must have put up a shield and defended themselves and just refused to let them in. And
right.
what they would do was, like, pass over them, and then they would target them and come back in and, like, attack and attack and attack in a nasty, you know, way, this person, so they could either break through or leave, or the person would leave. My question is, when you come across something that strong, what is the correct thing for everyone to do? And if you know what's happening to you, and you have up a shield, but they're chipping away at it, what's the tactic to do? Do you run? Do you stay? Do you fight? Do you do something that I'm not thinking of? Help us with this, because this was really a frightening thing to watch.
Well, let me first and foremost say that if amongst the vampire community, unfortunately, like any other community, we have our bad seeds too. And that's something that people need to understand. The people in in the community are usually fairly good people, but every now and then we get a crazy, just like you would get a crazy, you know? And when someone realizes they have power, of course, the first thing they want to do is exert it. So if this person is doing this, she needs, whoever put up a shield did pretty much the best thing they can do. Because as long as you have a shield up and you, the thing that makes a shield weak or strong is the amount of focus you put on it. So if you're not thinking about your shield and then she comes, the best thing to do is start thinking about your shield. And if you have a shield up, she can't get to you. I mean, she may, a tactic of hers would probably be to pull at other strings to make you forget about your shield, therefore she can feed off of you. So the best thing you can do, basically, is say, I have a shield, you can't feed off me, go away. And if you don't, if you can moderate yourself and not let your shield down, there is no way she could feed off of you.
Did that answer your question there, Chris?
Yeah, that was great. And that's exactly what the people were doing. But and she's right, this was not your typical nice, playing well vampire. And
right.
Do you think that this is maybe someone that's new to this or just not a scrupulous person?
It could be one of two things. It could be someone that's very new, that does not have any idea what they're really doing. I mean, of course, they know they're riling people up and taking energy, but they may not know how to control the fact that they're taking this energy. They may not know how to stop. I mean, and then again, it could also be someone who is just so very sick with the fact of the power that they can take the energy, that they're just going everywhere they can and taking as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned earlier, Lady Calment, about the vampire society. How large would you say this society is? The United States have 280 million people. What kind of a size of society do you think the vampire society exists within?
Well, Colin, I can tell you two things. I personally, I don't think any of us in the community know the actual number, but I can tell you two things. It's well into the thousands, I can tell you for sure, and I can also tell you that this is an international community. It is not only U.S., it is not only Mexico, Canada, and U.S. It is, we are an international community.
Well, I can tell you, as of today, I received the numbers via many of our contacts, and we are blasting into Europe at full bore, live, into the wee hours of the morning, and our rebroadcast schedule is pretty heavy from those in Netherlands, in the upper parts of Europe, and in the eastern parts of Europe. So we are hitting a home run tonight, of course, talking about vampires. And we tried getting a hold of a contact in the old Transylvania just to see how much we could make an issue. But unfortunately, the time frames are just not what they should be. Chris, you mentioned to me today the hits on the Night Zone link off your blog. And where did you say they were coming from, those hits?
Republic of Czech, with coming from Spain, just all over, you name it, right? Even China, you're being heard all over the world, but very heavy in the German area, also in Germany. It's just incredible. Places you never thought people would be listening to this show, they are listening to it. So,
well, let me do a shout.
We're educating them all on vampires tonight.
Let me do a shout out to all of those people that are not in the North Americas. If you wish to get a hold of the show, it's quite easy to do. Just go to Gmail and type the Night Zone, THEKNIGHTZONE, the Night Zone at gmail.com, and send me an email. Let me know you are out there. Lady Calment, you mentioned the Vampire Society, how large it is. Do The Vampire Society have organized gatherings like witches have covens?
Yes, we do. Quite often, actually. And you would be amazed at the fact that a lot of the covens of the Wiccans and pagans and such, we intermingle quite a lot as well as with the goth and emo and all that. They're interlaced with us sometimes knowingly and sometimes unknowingly. There are many, many. We do get together a lot. We like to socialize.
Right. For those people out there that are interested in following up on vampirism, there is a vampire lounge on YouTube. I was shocked.
Yes.
And this is legitimate. Yeah, quite an interesting society. I had a look around today on YouTube, and I was impressed. A vampire lounge on YouTube.
Did you like it?
I kind of got a little kick out of it, to be honest with you. You know, I'm a firm believer in YouTube. A couple of the Night Zone shows are up there and some promos. So this community, you have a vampirism e-list that's out there if people want to make contact with people. Am I correct?
That's correct. We also have of course, the Vampire Lounge on YouTube is really great. There is a Atlanta Vampire Alliance. .com is also, they have a lot of statistical information about the community, skimming globally. They have a lot of, they've done a lot of questionnaires and that sort of thing to sort of get some statistics about vampires in particular. So,
right.
And
okay.
Of course,
Chris, I'm just going to put your microphone on a quick hold. Just because we're heading for a break, and I don't want to lose you out of the show, so I'll just put you on a quick hold. And Lady Calment, we're ready for a second break, so we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, you have 2 minutes. Do what you have to do.
Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. We'll be right back with Lady Ladur Kalmans, matriarch of the House of Maniac, a live member of the vampire community, when we return. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Welcome to the shadows of the Night Zone.
The ancient Sumerian text, just in a very broad overview, basically tell us that these Anunnaki came from space and landed on the Earth in the Tigris-Euphrates Valley. They began to set up a colony that they called Eden.
Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
2012 is speculated to be the end of the world based on the Mayan calendar and other sources. If you are worried or unsure about it, then some uncommon sense, along with a literal Bible prophecy breakthrough, may help. Find out what kind of a year 2012 will be, normal or prophetic, with Tim McHyde in the Night Zone. Watch for the listings. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And we're here with Lady Calment from the House of Maniac, a real live vampire in the Vampire Society. Lady Calment, so there are rogue vampires within your society. Are they shunned by the regular Vampire Society?
Well, it's not particularly that they're shunned. It's just that, in general, they don't want to be a part of the society.
Right.
They don't want to be around us, and we're not so unhappy that they stay away.
Good point, good point. And, of course, we're not talking about the young kids, the goths, who just want to play vampire. My understanding is so far that a vampire is a person who must take energy from an outside human source to be able to be a productive member of society.
Yes. Not necessarily an outside human source, just an outside source. We don't have to take human energy or human blood, for that matter, just so it's more along the lines of living energy as opposed to human.
Okay, so could one of these rogue vampires feed from horses and cows and the
likes? Of course.
Likes?
Yes, they could feed from anything they wanted to.
So anything that has a life force.
The grass, the trees, the rivers, the people, pretty much anything that, like you said, has a life force, any kind of life force you can feed from.
Right. Have there been any medical investigation into vampirism for any kind of a genetic lineage or anything like that?
There has been some sort of studies, but there hasn't been any look into lineage. Although everyone predominantly in the vampire community considers it a DNA-based trait.
Right.
You can't be turned into a vampire. Let me just say that.
Okay. So you can't be caught off guard by a vampire and they do some kind of funky spell and you now have to feed off others. There's none of that going on.
There's none of that. There's no I bite you and you become a vampire. There's no you drink my blood and you're a vampire. You may be a vampire and not know it, but
right.
There's no way that we can wave a wand at you and turn you into a vampire.
So you, from that I extrapolate the fact that you are born a vampire. You just don't, many people don't realize, but
right.
They are vampires in one form or another, whether it's energy, human, or otherwise.
Right. And some people, we call it an awakening when you realize what you're doing. We
right.
call it an awakening. When you realize you're a vampire, it's an awakening.
Okay.
And some people have their awakening when they're very young, and some people have it when they're very old.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on your person. It has nothing to do with the community whatsoever.
Right. It's just upon your personal development in that genre, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in your opinion, there is some kind of ancient genetic code that dictates the society of vampirism.
That's correct, yes.
Here are the crazy research questions that I have to ask because I need them to research next week's show. So do vampires eat normal food?
Yes, we do.
And
great
you draw
today.
And you draw energy from normal food. Is there any special food that vampires like to eat?
I personally like rare steak. But that's just me.
Yeah, you just blew my bump question because as I was going to go to the next break in 4 minutes, I was going to ask you how you liked your steak. I thought that would be a good vampire statement.
Rare, medium rare is how I like mine.
Good girl, good girl.
But there's always vegetarian vampires also. So don't think just because they're eating a rare steak, they're a vampire.
Right. Are vampires dangerous?
No. Actually, most people are around vampires every day and don't realize it.
Right, right.
But
those people that don't know they're vampires are probably a little out of control, I would think, wouldn't they?
people that don't know they're vampires are what are the ones that we try to help on things like our e-list and on our websites and stuff like that, because the ones that don't realize what they're doing are in fact the most dangerous, because they're feeding off of people whether they acknowledge that they're doing it or not.
Right. So if you were to log into one of these internet political chat rooms, would you be able to identify a vampire very quickly? Would their modus operandi, their method of operation, would that give them away to another vampire?
Of course. Yes.
So
any vampire would know that there's another vampire there.
I think we found a tag team partner here, Chris, to take into the political rooms.
Yeah, well, I think that she would realize what was going on really quickly. May I ask another question? And it's talk about stupid questions. When a vampire is feeding on energy, is it possible for it to eat too much? Just like when I overeat, I don't feel so good. Can you actually take in a little bit too much energy? And if so, what do you do then?
Well, any vampire can, in fact, take in too much energy or blood, for that matter. It's just like you can overeat. We can overeat too, but we can also overfeed, which is taking in too much energy or blood or whatever method they're feeding from. When we do that, instead of a stomach ache, most of us, especially a psychic vampire, would get a raging migraine instantly. So that's usually what happens. And generally, also, again, that would happen a lot with someone that did not realize they were feeding. Like they would go in, they would cause chaos, and then they would get up a raging migraine for no reason. They would be like, "What's wrong with me? I don't understand."
Mm-hmm.
But even me, yes, I could overfeed and get a headache very easily.
Well, I have to tell you that our research team has done quite a bit of work on background investigations on the subject, and I have pages and pages and pages of vampire notes and that. But somehow, out of all of these notes, they found out that your husband is also a ghost chaser or a ghost hunter.
That is correct. He is. He loves his ghosts.
He loves his ghosts. I may have to chat with you off the show and see if we can convince him to come to the show for one of our tapings, because we like ghost chasers and hunters. We're definitely into the ghost chasing and ghost hunting business. So maybe in the wee hours of the morning, nudge him and tell him, by the way, you're going on air on the Night Zone, and see what he says to that. What do you think about that?
I'm sure he would have no problem coming on your show if you asked him.
Excellent, excellent. I tell you what, we have to take one more quick break, guys. So we're going to jump out to a break right now. And Chris Hawley will be with us next week, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure you tune in next week to listen to Chris and her updates on all of her ghoulish and ghostly stories, because they'll definitely set your arms shivering. She's enough to scare the pants off you sometimes, and has done it to me quite a few times, I'll tell you. Some of those stories are enough to curl your toes. We'll be right back. You have 2 minutes. Tonight's background featured music is Tippler and the D-Cups. Make sure you check them out.
Driving down the road, minding my own business, when I see a UFO slam right into a tree. Scared the pants off of me. There was so much debris. And the next thing I see is a little green man in front of me. And he says, "Crembop-a-doodly-jump." I say, "He-bop-a-doodly-jump." He says, "Crembop-a-doodly-jump-a-poopily-me-bop-a-moopily-mo." We moopled and mowed for about an hour, went out of the clouds, popped
lost another UFO. Wouldn't you know, he had to go, but I hear him say, as he flew away, I crammed up a doodly jang. I yelled, heave off a doodly joe. He said, crammed up a doodly, crammed up a doodly, meet my boobly mow. Crammed up. Doodly Jane, Grandpa, Doodly, yes. Grandpa, a Doodly Jane,
Tiddler and the Deacups.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tiddler and the Deacups from TiddlerandTheDeacups.com.
And we'd like to thank Tiddler and the Deacups for their music that they've provided to us. It was a great little catchy tune about our UFO pals. We're back with Lady Ledurk Kalmentz, matriarch of the House of Maniac, a real-life practicing vampire. Lady Kalmentz, the stereotypical visual of a vampire is a godless being who worships the dark side of religion. But you are an ordained minister and a practicing Christian spiritual, I understand.
That is correct. I am of no means worshipping any dark side.
Right. Are there many vampires that you know of that are, in fact, spiritual?
Actually, almost all vampires are spiritual. Now, not all vampires are Christian, but they're still spiritual.
Right, right.
We have our Wiccan and our pagan and our Christian and our... We're very diverse. And since we're of a sub-community, we sort of accept, you know, other people's religion. We're not very... Nobody puts anybody down for what they believe. Since, I mean, we already have enough adversity to overcome just by being vampires.
Right, right. So what happens to the different types of vampires if they're not able to either drink blood when they need to, or engage in sexual activity, or drain energy from someone else? What happens to them? Can they go for long periods of time without doing that?
Well, we teach our bodies to wait as long as possible, but if we go beyond the point of what our body can stand, then we start to get sick, like almost like flu symptoms.
Okay.
You know.
So there is a feeding time that most vampires must follow, much like a normal regular feeding time for the average Joe.
Yes. Except we have it twice, because we have to eat regular food and then we have to feed also.
Right. Now, in feeding at irregular times and then eating, I'll say human food, but that's not really a good way of saying it, but your regular food, is there anything that will cause a vampire to require a stronger feeding than other times? You know, is it an emotional level of feeding that is required, or is it just a set amount of energy or blood or whatever required to resolve that issue of a vampire?
It's sort of... I'm going to try to explain this so it relates to... so everyone can relate. It's sort of like when you eat your meal, right? When you eat your hamburger and your fries or whatever, it only lasts so long. And the more activity you do, the more of that food you use. Because food is converted to energy for you, just like it is for me.
Okay.
And after you've depleted that, say you ate your lunch at 11 o'clock. Well, around 5, you start getting really, really hungry. And then around 8, you feel like you're starving to death. And we're sort of the same way when it comes to that. The longer we go and the more of our energy supply that we use, the more we need.
Okay. So can certain vampires just be the same as normal people and become gluttonous on the needing to feed, whereas they don't need to feed, but they want to feed?
It's possible. I mean, I personally don't know anyone like that, but I'm just like, you know, someone gets obsessed with food, someone could get obsessed with feeding.
Right, yeah. And as an ordained minister, you accept the fact that God is universal and that there is a universal power out there. You know, you're not worshiping any vampire god. It is, as I call it, the real thing, the real deal, correct?
That is right. I am a Christian-based vampire, I suppose that's what you call it. I personally don't worship being a vampire. As a matter of fact, most of the time it gets on my nerves.
Okay.
There are vampires that worship the fact that they're vampires, but there is a vampirism religion, but I and most of the people I know that are in the vampire community do not follow that path.
Right. Lady Ledert Calment, matriarch of the House of Maniac, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's hard to believe, but we're blowing through 1 hour, so we have to start doing the wind-up. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you tonight.
It's been a pleasure talking to you as well.
And I hope we can get you back at another time, maybe bring your husband with you, and we'll do another show. Thank you for enlightening us. Thank you for bringing that information to our listeners. And opening up the doors of a few areas for which the Night Zone like to look into, especially the internet psychic vampire information. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you again, and blessings on your household, dear.
Well, thank you.
And we shall talk to you again. And ladies and gentlemen, as we come to the end, believe it or not, of another Night Zone, we are already heading up to the top of the hour. It has been an absolute pleasure. And we shall catch you back here next Tuesday evening with Chris Holly and her paranormal world. We look forward to seeing you then. Hey, Night Zoners, got a minute? I'm sure we all know someone who is experiencing difficult times during this recession, either with unemployment or financial problems or in relationships. I have friends like that. I would like to remind you that we are all in this together. So if you have friends experiencing hardships, support them with your advice. If you have acquaintances who are having rough times, nurture them with your friendship. Show them kindness. If you have family members who are having difficulties, show them your love. And if you have people in your life who have almost given up, throw them a lifeline of kindness. Remember the golden rule, but for the grace of God, go I. Blessings upon your household. Until then, next time we meet, God bless.
You are in the Night Zone on BlogTalkRadio.com. Production in association with BlogTalkRadio.com.